When you consider your dreams, what is it that you wish for? Do you wish for a bounty of money so that you can satisfy every desire that you might have in your life? Do you wish for an abundance of jobs in the United States of America that we live in, so that people can be capable of supporting themselves and their families and living the American dream and dream big and always have the opportunity to accomplish their goals? What is it that you hope for? I have hope, even though many have worries, that the United States of America will continue to remain the best place in the world to live. I also have hope that many will be able to accomplish for themselves and their families the good old American dream. I hope, like others, that we might be a nation where the Word of God moves us to obey rather than distort the truth. I have hope that the people of this nation one day will want to have God in common. And as I say that, I don't simply mean that people will say, "I'm a Christian," even though they reach to the things of this old world and call it God's work. A few weeks ago, I talked to this congregation about the efforts that we see here in our nation, that we see especially here in our state, California, where we want to condone homosexuality, where we want to condone same-sex marriage, where we want to condone and support abortion, and then almost in the same breath, we call ourselves Christians. Friends, I want you to understand that no hope, no relief from the way of life that we see will ever be available if we don't believe in God and His Word and make a commitment to Him. That has to be, my friends, you and I. You and I as Christians. That is what we stand for. We stand for God's Word. We stand for book, chapter, and verse. We sometimes, here in our nation, see our politicians' speeches. And sometimes they even reach out with some concern to even mention God Almighty. When we hear that, sometimes we think that politician is worth believing in. Friends, let me explain something. The work of the Lord has nothing to do with politics. And the honesty is, we as Christians should not try to bring the politics of the world here as we gather as the Lord's church. But even though I believe that so many in the world today do not know God, my hope is that we as a country, we as a people, we as a nation, and most especially we as Christians, will reach out to the one hope that we have in the promises of the one and only Almighty God, and show the Lord and His perfect Word living in each and every one of us. Sometimes I believe that we get caught up in this old world and we think that we're unable to do what the Lord had prayed for us to be able to do. Sometimes, as I listen to the scriptures, it pierces, it challenges me to stand up and stand up for the Lord in all truth. I want you to listen this morning to the words of Jesus that He prayed to our Father just prior to His betrayal, His crucifixion, and His death. In John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, the Lord Jesus prayed and he said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. In the religious and the secular realms of the world today, men have tried different tactics to bring about unity. No matter how much we might compare past presidents or to our presidents today, no matter how we might compare world powers and the strength of the past to the world today, man continues to fail. We hear political speeches every so often talk about the righteousness of God being the goal of this nation. However, I'm not sure that will ever happen, because the problem remains between the worldly side, that fleshly side, and the spiritual side of man. Man wants to find the answers from the world. And friends, the answers don't lie in the world. They lie in God and his righteousness. Brethren, these two, the flesh and the spirit, they are at war against one another. And that war will always be. I want you to listen this morning to the Apostle Peter when he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Sometimes I don't think we understand what the Apostle Peter refers to here when he mentions fleshly lusts. Fleshly lusts are simply our cravings, our overwhelming physical desires. Fleshly lusts are our passions for the world, our choosing the world's way rather than God's way. The reference here deals with the carnal desires of man, those things which fight, are at war with God and his word. Friends, the things of the world never will match or complement that which is spiritual and from God. In the religious world today, some have conjured up in their minds that it is a good idea to establish a world headquarters or a mother church, that it can insist that everyone has to obey. All of these things, and so many other things that the world creates through their denominational ideas, are against the direct commands and the apostolic examples that we find in the scriptures. The commands and the pattern given in the scriptures is the plan, is the righteous plan of the Almighty God, the one and only who should be called Father. This is who this congregation has always been. We are directed by book, chapter, and verse, which are the very words of God. In our lesson, our Bible lesson this morning before services, that's what we talked about with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit came with the words of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And in the wisdom, my friends, of God's divine pattern. And through the apostolic admonition that we find in the inspired words of the scriptures, each and every congregation of the Lord's people is autonomous, but they must be convinced and they must be directed by the scriptures. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed." He said, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness." God is incredibly wise. He is incredibly as well uncomplicated, and his simple plan for unity of mankind was revealed through his Son, Christ Jesus, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and through the apostles. And that is the truth of God that will set us free. And that truth truly can be understood easily by all people. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, "But referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which is in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets in the Spirit." He goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." This must always be what unifies God's people. It is our obedience to God's word that makes us, as we're obedient to the gospel and accept the blessings that come through Jesus Christ, as faithful Christians. The unity that comes through Christ must be the unity that comes through his word. In God's word, in Christ's word, in the apostles' words, in the words that were given by way of the Holy Spirit, this must be the word upon which unity and righteousness is based upon and achieved. And we need to understand the word would be the gospel message that is revealed and was given by the one and only Almighty God. When the Lord Jesus prays for unity, he says, "Believes in me through their word." From this verse, we absolutely realize all those who want to become disciples can both understand Christ's message and they can be convicted by it. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Brethren, division, and especially religious division, is never rooted in a verse, in a scripture, because it's too confusing. It's too unclear for us to understand it. God is not a God of confusion. He is the Father of mercy and grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches and the saints." God and His Word is what unites us in the truth. But we have to be willing to listen to His Word and apply it to our lives. God and His Word is what brings unity and peace. The promise that we have in the Scriptures is the gospel message would always exist and would always exist in the pure form, so that the unity that God gives through His Word would be possible among God's people in every generation if we would simply accept it. I want you to listen to the Apostle Peter when he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, "For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." The gospel message is not only the basis of unity with other disciples, but it is equally the foundation of our fellowship with Jesus and our Father. Which simply means, if you want to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and if you want to have a relationship with our Father in heaven, the one and only Almighty God, then, brethren, you need to have a relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ through the perfection of His Word. That was Michael's lesson last week. We must find our unity in Christ Jesus, whom our Father sent, so that all men might have the opportunity for hope. Certainly in the New Testament Scriptures, as was evident in the first century church, they began to fulfill their mission as the church, as Christians. They were instructed by the Son of God in Mark 16, verse 15, to go ye into all the world and preach to all creation. Jesus also instructed us about our efforts for one another. I love to listen to Luke chapter 17, verse 3, where Jesus said, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them." But we fail to hear the admonition begins with this instruction: so watch yourselves. We fail to hear as well on this same issue the words of Matthew recorded concerning this that Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, where He said, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over." We hear these words and think, "Well, if they take my side on it, then I'll forgive them. But if they disagree me, then I'm not going to have anything to do with them." Brethren, understand this. If you don't forgive them, then you hold a grudge which we are commanded not to hold. You demonstrate your willingness to reach out to the sin and try to say, "Well, I've got my reasons." Let me tell you, brethren, we've got to study and realize all of what the Lord instructs us as his disciples. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 4 through 5, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We've got to listen, brethren, to the inspiration of the Lord Jesus on this matter. I believe that when we listen, we learn. And so rather than me pick and choose a few inspired words that are recorded by Luke about Jesus and what he said, I want you this morning with me to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. And I want us to listen to the Lord Jesus as he begins in verse 12. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. It says, "It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, who he had also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. There was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. And all the people were trying to touch him, for the power was coming from him and healing them all. And turning his gaze towards his disciples, he began to say, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, and behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for your fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man. Can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye," when you yourselves cannot see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred and the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and it immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. My friends, if we do not stand up willingly to listen to the Lord first, then we will stand before the Lord with a vision one day of what we want, and it will never, ever resemble what God expects of us. My friends, in order to teach the gospel, you have to be willing to talk and listen to the gospel and share it with others. Brother Norton Dye, who this congregation years and years ago had the blessing of hearing him teach us, he had an old saying which he shared with us many years ago, and it has continued to resonate in many of our hearts. He used to say, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Brethren, your light will not do any good without you showing it. Showing it to who? Showing it to all. And that means you've got to go and you've got to get to know others by sharing the truth. And by saying that, I'm not saying we have to agree to engage in the things that they believe in. What you have to be willing to do is stand up for the truth and show others who you are. And when we do that, we show who the Lord is as we demonstrate Him and His Word in our lives. What you and I must understand is that we're not listening to His Word and applying it to our lives if we're not ready to show the goodness of the Lord. If we're not out there showing who God is, if we're not out there helping to tell and show people what the blessings of the Lord is through the salvation in Jesus Christ. Brethren, you're not going to teach anyone the blessings of being a Christian unless you show it to them. We can't do that through televangelism. We can't do that by putting a sermon up and we say, well, we put it on our website, so it's up to them to listen to it. We can't simply do those things. What we're going to have to do is give of ourselves. And that means not who you are on a personal basis, your personal ideas, but you have to do your best to show them Jesus at work in your lives. For me, in all things, it must be God's way. And if we do it God's way, that is where we find unity. Unity in the truth and in our demonstration of the Lord Jesus. When we do that, how then can we be divided? And when I ask that question, it is a question that first must be asked here among Christians. If I gave you a list of everyone here, and I included in that list every one of our congregation who is a member that isn't here today, when you read their name, ask yourself, would you be able to tell me who they are and describe them because you know them? I hear people say all the time that the Lord's church is extremely divided. And we talk about divisions. Certainly, there are divisions in the denominational world today. But there should be no divisions in the Lord's church if we are focused on book, chapter, and verse. I have seen people produce various lists of issues that they are divided with God's people in the past and still are today. I can honestly say that in the 55 years that I've been a Christian, I have been in congregations that have never had a problem with many of the things that people typically put on the list of issues that Christians disagree with. But brethren, I will say this. If we don't take the time to know one another, then we can be divided. You've got to be willing to give of yourself for one another. And that doesn't only mean in times of hardship that you reach out to help one another. You've got to be willing to give of yourself as we work together for the Lord, as we focus ourselves on the truth, because it is the truth of God that will set us free. In the admonition that we read about in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, the stimulation the encouragement that must come from us being together. Brethren, look to one another and be thankful for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ that you love. Friends, that means you have to show them Jesus in you through your Christ-like choices, and show others what it means to share the blessings of Christ and His Word. Remember, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Wise words from a brother who loved the Lord and loved me enough to share those encouraging, stimulating, and meaningful words. Ask yourself, do we see the blessings that we find in God and His Word? Do we see the unity that can be ours if we simply are willing to follow His Word? Do we see the unity that can be ours if we're willing to stand for the purity of God's Word, book, chapter, and verse? Does book, chapter, and verse mean what it meant to you as it did to the early Christians? Do we reach out daily to demonstrate the truth? Jesus simply stands at the door and knocks. It is our choice whether or not we will let Him in. He simply says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's the blessings of what God gave His Son to mankind for. This morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent, confess, and be buried with Him in baptism, the blessings and the promises of God are yours through His Word that we can find in book, chapter, and verse. Along the way of life, sometimes though, we place those words on the shelf. Each and every one of us must continue to live those words in our lives. But sometimes we stumble. If you stumbled, have confidence in the covenant relationship that you were given in Christ Jesus through the blood He shed. But if you feel unconfident with yourself, then we have the direction to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. The blessings of unity and salvation lie within the blessings that we have through Christ Jesus. I pray those blessings continue to mean so much to each and every one of us. This morning, if they touch your heart, if they prick you as we see in Acts chapter 12, then I pray you'll respond as we stand and sing our song.